Well, on Tuesday this week, Kylie and I, David and Greg were there as well, had the privilege of attending the Salvation Army's thank you lunch. The PR department, the communications department put this on each year to thank our donors, to thank organisations that have partnered beautifully with the Salvation Army across the past 12 months. Now, Kylie and I were discussing, there weren't too many core officers there and we wondered why we had been invited. Kylie says it's because we're the best core officers. I said it was because we were the best looking, but either way, you can figure that out for yourself. But we got to be in the room and it was one of the best events that I have been to in probably the past 5 years or so. And the testimonial speaker was just incredible. His name was Craig. And he shared this beautiful story of God's faithfulness in his life throughout his time in the Salvation Army, even when he didn't know it. See, Craig now works at the Salvation Army's Foster House. A picture of that's going to come up on the screen for us. Foster House, if you've never been there before or heard of it, it's in Sydney's CBD. Some of you may have perhaps visited over the years. It's located in the heart of the city, and it's the Salvation Army's Crisis Accommodation Centre for Men. And Craig is a staff member there now. But he spoke of his journey, especially over the past 15 years or so, of homelessness and addiction. See, his addiction had led him on a journey of homelessness, and he'd had a really tough time. But he shared a little bit about how 9 or 10 years ago, he used to sleep at Foster House. See, Foster House back in the day was a bit more of a drop-in centre than it is now. Men could go and they could have a night's sleep there, they could have a shower, they could be well fed and be on their way. Now, Craig moved all around the place. He fell into very rough seasons of addiction with drugs and alcohol, but he kept coming back to Foster House. Eventually, Craig had a transformational experience. He met Jesus. He got his life back on track. He was able to find housing. He broke free of his addiction, continued on that journey. And Craig finally found a caseworker to work with him through it. And he said something that might help me would be to volunteer. And so the caseworker linked him up with Foster House. And he's been on this journey supporting men who come into Foster House. And now he works there. And he talked about having this full circle moment. He got to this place in his life where he could look back and he could see the thread of God's faithfulness in and through all of his story, even when he couldn't see it. He looks back all his experiences, the good, the terrible, the nasty things that happened to him. They all now contribute to his capacity to do the job that he believes he is called to do. In fact, Craig talked about these men in Foster House that come and see him now and they're quite dismissive of him and they'll say, "You don't know what it's like. You don't know what I'm going through." And he's able to say to them, "Well, actually, I do." And so this incredible story of God's faithfulness, and I'm sure for many of you, you can pick out these instances in your life where God has been faithful. When even perhaps you couldn't see it, he's been faithful in your life. And when we look at the Christmas narrative, we see these instances of God's faithfulness once again. Last week, Jonathan spoke to us about the promised and longed-for Messiah that was finally here. Hope, after this prolonged period of waiting, might just have come for the people. God's faithfulness revealed through the birth of Jesus. But you know, so often when we speak of the faithfulness of God, we often refer to instances, glimpses of God's faithfulness. Often we say God has been faithful, and we're talking about particular events or particular seasons in our life when we can see God at work. God has been faithful here and here and here. But I wonder this morning if you've ever considered that God's faithfulness predates us. Before you came into existence, the faithfulness of God was already at work and in ways that would hopefully benefit you. God's faithfulness predates us. And we see some of that in our reading today as this angel comes to announce something completely mind-blowing to Mary. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about a story in my family life where I see God's faithfulness predating even me. See, back, I suppose it was 70 or so years ago now, my grandmother was a young girl who liked a young boy. When she was about 13 years old, this boy that she was interested in from school was also interested in her, and he invited her to come along to youth group. So, of course, it's as good a reason as any to go to youth group, a love interest, right? Now, I'd love to tell you that this young boy that she went along to youth group with is now my grandfather, but that's not true. It didn't work out, as you would expect, at 13 years of age. But what did happen, even though their relationship fell apart at 13 years old, is that my grandmother developed a relationship with the corps officers at the Salvation Army at the time. And they journeyed alongside her, and she accepted Jesus into her life. Then she brought her parents along, they accepted Jesus into their lives. See, we see the faithfulness of God, something that changed my story all those years ago. An invitation to youth group, long before I was even a thought in someone's mind, God's faithfulness was shown to me. And when my gran came into relationship with God, her life was transformed, and then so was mine two generations later. I'm sure you can think of many stories like that in your life as well. Today in our scripture, the reading comes from Luke chapter 1, read so beautifully for us this morning, and we learn something of the heritage of Jesus. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. This is a couple of sentences that we have likely read hundreds of times before. The introduction to this part of scripture that we quickly gloss over because it just gives us a bit of context, a bit of information. But these details in this sentence matter because we see here that the faithfulness of God was at work in the lives of Mary and Joseph well before Jesus was born. Why is it important? Well, Mary's hometown, Nazareth, a town in Galilee. It was a town of a population of no more than a few hundred people. It was so obscure that it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. You know, when you read those lists of 50 or 60 places, it's never once mentioned. And so to say that you were a Nazarene from the town of Nazareth meant that you were on the outer. You were despised and rejected. And some scholars suggest that this actually lines up with what was prophesied. The ones that spoke of the Messiah coming and being despised, rejected. So this line in scripture is important because Jesus, a nobody from a town that no one really cared about, came to save all of humanity. And then in these sentences, we also read that he was a descendant of David. This is important. Jesus' mother Mary also came from the line of King David. God had established a covenant with his people. David's throne was to be established and to go on forever. So it was unquestionable that the promised Messiah, God's chosen one, would come from this line of David. Jesus wasn't just flung into human history at any time with no thought. No, he was here at the perfect time. He was here proving the faithfulness of God from generation to generation had been at work, and it was preparing for this moment. Jesus was to take his place as part of this long line, this long history, proving that the son of Mary and Joseph, the son of God, God's faithfulness predates us. And so I want us to pause for a moment this morning. And I want you to think about God's faithfulness in your life that has predated you just as it did Jesus. Where do you see it when you look back in your life? Where have you seen God at work? This thread of faithfulness in all that you have been through, can you see it? Can you see that God is at work? What about the times in life for many of us when we've struggled to see where God could possibly be at work in our situation? Were there times in your life when you couldn't possibly see a way out and yet God brought someone alongside you? God gave you a word. God gave you what you needed to take the next step forward. Because I think this might be where Mary's at in the middle of this great announcement. In this middle of this great acknowledgement from the angel in Luke's gospel, this big announcement about God's faithfulness, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In the Message paraphrase, it says, she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. It's a small reality check for us in this great announcement. Amongst the angels, amongst the faithfulness of God, Mary is freaking out a little bit. She's afraid. She's scared. What is going to happen next? And for me, I think this just validates all the times in my life where I've known that God is faithful. I know that God will continue to be faithful, but sometimes in the moment, we struggle to see it. Sometimes in the moment, we're thoroughly shaken, but that's okay. Because the announcement moves on to remind us that God's faithfulness outlives us. God's faithfulness outlives us. You know, I'm really sorry if you didn't already know this, but in 100 years' time, none of us are going to be here. Unless someone finds the Philosopher's Stone or figures out a great scientific solution, we're not going to be here. Life is fleeting. Sort of humbling when you think about it like that, because 100 years doesn't seem like that long away. But long after we each leave this earth, the faithfulness of God will continue, because God's faithfulness lasts forever. The faithfulness of God is not bound by time. It's not bound by memory. It's not even bound by people who tend to stuff up on occasion. His faithfulness goes on, and it will continue to go on. Psalm 100 verse 5 says it like this, his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. If nothing else has sunk in for you in 2024 at Parramatta Salvos, I hope that what you take away from this year is that we have seen and heard a faithful God at work. As we've celebrated 140 years of Parramatta Salvation Army in this city, and we've heard the stories of God's faithfulness of those who have gone before, but also in the here and now as we've listened to each other's stories. Surely you can see that the faithfulness of God both predates us and will go on to outlive us. Some of the people's stories that we heard in the early days, their faithfulness, God's faithfulness through them, has outlived them, and it enables us to do what we do today. And in the same way, I hope that the things that we are doing today will go on to impact the next 140 years because God's faithfulness goes beyond you and I. The angel Gabriel that was sent to Mary says to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." See, God's faithfulness in sending Jesus to earth as a baby would have eternal impact. His kingdom would never end. His faithfulness goes on and on forever. I don't know about you, but when I read these words from Luke, his kingdom will never end, I can't help but think of the words from Darlene Check's song, 2008, This Kingdom. Do you know it? "And this kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bounds, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's king has come. And this kingdom's reign, this kingdom's rule, this kingdom's power and authority, Jesus, God's righteousness revealed." His faithfulness will go on forever. It will outlive each one of us. The promised kingdom that comes through Jesus, the Messiah, will never end. God's faithfulness outlives each one of us. But what do we do with that information, right? Why does it matter? It's all well and good. It's a beautiful picture for us to paint. It's beautiful for us to remember. It's beautiful for us to think that this kingdom is ongoing and it never ends. But how do we practically apply that to our lives today? Well, I think the first thing we do is this. We must acknowledge and embrace it. I think it's really helpful for us to look back. As Christian people, to reflect on the faithfulness of God, to point out where God has been faithful in our lives, to look back on those seasons when we've struggled, when we haven't been able to see God, and to see the patterns, the faithfulness demonstrated to us, to embrace the thread of God's faithfulness in and through our stories like Craig's that I shared earlier, that even when he couldn't see it, God was weaving this plan in his life. We acknowledge and embrace it. And the other thing we can do is to play an active role in the kingdom, in bringing God's kingdom to earth. We can expand the cross-section or the overlap of where heaven meets earth, knowing that everything that we do to expand the kingdom of God will outlive us, trusting the God who has gone before will continue to go ahead and will go after. I want you to ask yourself the questions this morning. What am I doing today that will outlast me? How am I investing into the kingdom of God to expand the scope of God's faithfulness in my life and in the life of those around us? Of course, Mary's story should inspire us, I think, because heaven meets earth through ordinary people. She is going to carry the Messiah, this average young girl from a nothing town. Ordinary people, extraordinary God. We've been saying this all year. But here's the point of difference for me in Mary's story. After Mary has heard about the faithfulness of God that's gone before, the faithfulness of God that will come through the birth of Jesus, this is what she says in response. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's sort of mind-blowing. This young teenage girl receiving this word that would change her entire future, change the future of the entire universe, and yet she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I want that to be my heart, my prayer this Christmas. And this morning, we're going to reflect on the faithfulness of God. We're going to sing the words of great is thy faithfulness today. But this is what I want us to do this morning. I want us each to spend a moment zooming out on the bigger picture of our life. Remind yourself of God's faithfulness. See where he's been at work in your life, in the life of those around you, in the lives of those who have gone before you to lead you to where you are today. And then look forward to God's faithfulness that will outlive us. Ask yourself those questions once again. What am I doing in the here and now that is going to outlast me, that is going to help build the kingdom of God? And for many of us today, it is praying a renewal of that prayer, those words that Mary spoke. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.